Well, good morning. I want to talk now about the mark of the beast, the sign of the beast, which we read of in the book of Revelation. And I want to suggest that it's connected with the black flag of ISIS, of the Islamic State, which is now being flown as the flag of jihad throughout the land that's been promised to Abraham, starting at the River Nile. Now, the purpose of Bible prophecy, I don't think, is to predict things in advance. Jesus said about his own predictions of his own death, "I'm telling you this now, so that when it comes to pass, then you will believe." And so I've heard, as I'm sure you have, and read all sorts of explanations about the mark of the beast, 666, and so forth. And I've been somewhat skeptical about them all. None of them, as it were, cut it for me. I looked at the text there at the end of Revelation 13 and later in Revelation 14 and other parts of Revelation. And I heard these explanations, and I'm sorry, but it didn't cut it for me. There always seem to be some kind of problems. Now, I'm here talking to you about the meaning of the mark of the beast in connection with this symbol that's being flown by the Islamic State in their flags, because I feel that for me, yes, this explanation cuts it. Now, when you look at that symbol that is being flown by the Islamic State, you'll see that it's a rough circle, a hand-drawn circle, and you think, well, can these guys like draw a proper circle? And the reason why it's a rough circle is because it's an imitation of the seal of Muhammad. It's not because people can't draw a straight circle, a proper circle, you know, with a compass and so forth. It's an imitation of the seal of Muhammad. And that Arabic writing that is inside it says, there in Arabic, there is none other God than Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And so then these ISIS or Islamic State fighters are going around with these characteristic black flags and wearing this symbol, many of them, on their battle dress, particularly on their foreheads, right in the center of their helmets and their headscarves and so forth. This is the seal of Muhammad. And what was the seal of Muhammad? Well, Muhammad used this in order to give credence to his official declarations and so forth. And that seal was held to have magical qualities. And the loss of the seal amounted to the loss of the kingdom of Muhammad, or the caliphate, as they call it. Caliph in Arabic really means like a prince or a leader. And the caliphate was his kingdom. And it was said that this seal went together with the caliphate, and that if the seal was lost, then the caliphate would be lost, and there would be no unity amongst the Muslims. Well, now the Islamic State have announced a caliphate for the first time since the 1920s. There is now a state called the Islamic State there, in the land that was promised to Abraham, which it seems to me is the center, is the focus of Bible prophecy, and they're making a big deal about this seal of Muhammad. Now, when you go to Revelation 13, which talks about the beast making people receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, it is associated, in Revelation 13, verse 14, with the deception of those that dwell on the earth by false miracles, which are done. So I think that you should start looking for the Islamic State amongst themselves anyway, claiming that they are doing miracles, doing wonderful things from God. And of course, from their perspective, their amazing growth and victories, etc., they would say are some sort of miraculous blessing from God. Now, each flag has a name. For example, the Union Jack is the name that's given to the flag of the United Kingdom, the Union Jack. And so the flag of Muhammad, the jihadist flag, this rough hand-drawn circle that imitates the seal of Muhammad, this also has a name. And in Arabic, it's called the Black Banner, or the Banner of the Eagle. The Banner of the Eagle. And you ask yourself, well, what's the significance of the eagle in Bible prophecy? Well, the enemies of Israel in the last days, according to Deuteronomy 28:49, are described as an eagle, that they will come upon Israel as swift as the eagle flies. Jeremiah 48, Daniel 7, Habakkuk 1, it all speaks about Babylon as an eagle, and Assyria is called an eagle in Hosea 8, as are the Ammonites, people living roughly in the area of Syria and Jordan today. That's in Jeremiah 49, and Edom, which is Esau, which is the generic name for all the Arab Muslim enemies of Israel in Obadiah 4. So then, the eagle is the symbol of, the biblical symbol, of the neighbouring states around Israel, the neighbouring peoples, who are her enemies and who will come upon her in judgment. And now the Islamic State are flying the banner of the eagle. So you can see why that's significant for those of us who are looking for an invasion of Israel, as the Bible requires, before the coming of Jesus, by her neighbouring peoples and enemies. Well, in Revelation 13, we're told that the beast system, verse 16 of Revelation 13, causes everybody to receive a mark in their right hand or in their arm, it's the same Greek word, or in their forehead. When you look at these pictures that are emerging of these Islamic State fighters, many of them, not all of them at the moment, but many of them have this insignia, this seal of Muhammad, as I said, on their battle dress, on their helmets, on their headscarves, etc., right on their foreheads. And a lot of them are also wearing rings. Rings. And on those rings is this seal of Muhammad. Well, I think that we can expect the use of symbology, the use of this symbology to grow within the Islamic State. Because it seems to me, as I've explained in previous presentations, that the Islamic State that we're seeing developing and declared as a caliphate today, that this is in fact Assyria revived, that this is the beast system of the last days. And I suggest that you're going to see this insignia appearing on things like coinage or any banknotes which these guys issue. So that literally, one cannot buy or sell without this mark. Now, if you look at the areas which have been taken over by the Islamic State, they are putting a pretty heavy tax on people. They're taking full control of people's economic life. So again, you can see how this mark of the beast, as I'm suggesting, is going to become necessary in order to just survive. Now, when we read that this is going to be enforced in Revelation 13 upon those who dwell upon the earth, what does that mean? I think a lot of interpretation of the mark of the beast has gone wrong because people are understanding the earth there as the whole planet. So they're looking for a sort of a global mark of the beast. Well, I would suggest that the Bible is focused in its attention upon the land promised to Abraham, which is from the Nile up to the Euphrates. When we read in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, of how there would be a succession of empires who would reign over the whole earth, what does that mean? Because there's never been literally one world empire that has governed the whole earth in the sense of the whole globe, the whole planet. So I suggest we have a choice. We can either understand the Hebrew word Eretz to mean the whole planet, or, as it also means in Hebrew, specifically the earth or the land promised to Abraham. And I suggest that that would be in line with Bible teaching and with biblical usage in terms of prophecies. So then when we read that the whole earth is going to have this mark enforced upon them, I don't think you need to look for something global, that every person in the South American rainforests or the jungles of Africa or whatever is going to have this mark on them. I don't think so. And I suggest that requirement is what has put people on the wrong track of interpretation. But if you understand the earth in Revelation and also in the Old Testament prophecies of the last days, if you understand the earth as referring specifically to the land, and if in your mind you just translate that as the land, which is absolutely biblically justifiable to do that, then it makes more sense that within that land promised to Abraham from the Nile to the Euphrates, that in that area, when it comes under the control of this latter-day entity, shall we call it, that is figuratively described as the beast, that this area, will demand upon everybody who lives there the usage of this sign, this mark. And I'm suggesting that it is the seal of Muhammad. Now, there is something called gematria, which can be used in trying to understand this idea of the mark of the beast and the number of the beast being the number of a man. This is Revelation 13, verse 18, and his number is 666. Gematria means that each letter in, for example, the Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek alphabets has a numerical value. And therefore, you can look at somebody's name that's written in one of those languages and work out the sum total of the name, because you take each letter, and each letter has got a numerical value, and you can find those numerical values on Wikipedia quite easily. And you can work out the number of the person's name. Now, I don't think that is out of the question. I used to think that it was a rather wishful thinking in biblical interpretation. But then I realized something. The Bible itself uses that. And it uses it right here in Revelation 13, verse 18. When you read in English, "Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, when you go back to the Greek text, you expect to read the Greek words, 666. But you don't. You don't. You read there instead just three Greek letters. Just three Greek letters. Chi, Zai, Stigma. And when you look at their numerical value, one has got the value of 600, the other has got the value of 60, the other's got the value of 6. So I think the fact that the Greek text here that God inspired does not say 660 and 6, it just uses three Greek letters, which when you add up their numerical value, comes to 666. I think this is a hint. Use gematria to figure this out. And so you look at the word Muhammad in Greek, Muhammad, and it's got a value of 666. And this number, we're told, verse 18, is the number of a man. The beast is, in that sense, the embodiment of a man. Now, as you probably know, you can go online and look at the statements of the Islamic State, and you can see their guiding principles and so forth. And both they and Hamas in Palestine, in Israel, they both claim that the prophet is our aim, is our goal. In other words, we are trying to embody the prophet, Muhammad, what Revelation would call the false prophet. We're trying to embody, to incarnate, to put in a bodily human form, the prophet, Muhammad. And therefore their idea is that their Islamic State, or the beast, as Revelation calls it, that this will be the embodiment of a person. That's why the Colossus of Daniel chapter 2, that stands complete in the last days, is all in the form of a man, with a face that looks like Nebuchadnezzar. And the little stone, as Jesus hits the image on the feet, destroys the whole thing. The image stands complete in the last days, and it stands complete in the form of a man, in the form of a person, of a human being. It is the embodiment of somebody. And the Islamic State, ISIS, claim, as do Hamas and other radical jihadist groups, they claim that their aim is to embody the Prophet Muhammad in their state, in their empire, their caliphate, or whatever word you want to use for it. There's something else that is just worth mentioning in passing. It may or may not appeal to you, but I mention it. And it's this, that the Greek and the Arabic alphabets are connected. And if you take some Greek letters that you're reading there on a page from left to right, and if you turn them by 90 degrees, you find that those letters actually are Arabic letters of the Arabic alphabet. Just as you can play the same game when you learn Russian and you start to learn the Cyrillic alphabet, sooner or later you start to think, hey, a number of these letters are actually letters that we have in the Latin alphabet, but they've just been turned on their side a little bit, or they've been inversed or something like that. The Latin R, capital R, in Cyrillic, used in the Russian language, it's this ya. It's just the other way around. Now, if you do that with these three Greek letters that are used here for 666, chi, zai, and stigma, and you put them, as it were, up 180 degrees, they spell this ism Allah in the name of Allah, which is the credo of Islam and the entire jihadist movement. So I'd suggest that, for me personally, that sort of adds a bit of credence and support to the idea that here we're reading something about Islam. Now that may or may not appeal to all of you, but I just mentioned that. Now, the book of Revelation in chapters 14, 15 and 20 emphasizes very strongly a huge blessing for those within the land or the earth who refuse to have the mark of the beast. We've all read and seen on the media what happens to people that are conquered by the Islamic State. We've seen what happens to them and how they are forced to convert, or they're killed, or they have to run away, hide on mountains, in caves, and so forth. So then, when the Islamic beast, when this entity, this Islamic State, whether it's in the present form of the organization calling itself the Islamic State or not, that remains to be seen, but an entity similar, let's say, to what we're seeing, and it may be that this is it, what we're seeing in this organization called ISIS or the Islamic State, that when that organization, that entity, is dominating the earth or the land promised to Abraham from the Euphrates to the Nile, that then, when they force this number of the beast, this mark of the beast upon everyone who's living there, including, of course, upon Jewish people, those who survive of them, living in the land of Israel, those few who refuse to accept it, they are the ones who will have special blessing. And why would they not accept it? Because they have radically accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Because the mark of the beast is put up, as it were, in the Bible in sort of contradistinction to the name of the Lamb, the name of the Father, of Yahweh, that is to be written where? In the foreheads, in the heart, in the mind, in the brain, in the thinking of God's people. So that minority who in the very last tribulation, and it may be a very brief period of time, but all the same it will come, those who refuse this are those who will be accepted in the last day. Now, I hope what I said is some sort of interesting to you. I'm really quite persuaded by it myself. But whatever, let's leave it like this, that we are to receive the mark of the Lord Jesus, the name of God, the God of Israel, in our foreheads, in our hearts, in our minds, and not the mark of anything else. Whatever the beast is, if I'm totally wrong in my understanding of the beast, so be it. The point is, what surely we can all agree on, is that we are to be his people. We are to be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that his name is written upon us, in our hearts, in our foreheads, and not the name of the beast.